The story of Scrooge is a classic story. Dickens penned the story over 150 years ago. Millions of people experience it during the holiday season in theaters and in nighttime stories everywhere, just as you are about to tonight. The story is an intriguing tale, a tale of love and brotherhood, or the lack thereof, a tale of human suffering, of ghosts, and most importantly, the redemption of a man's soul, the soul of Ebenezer Scrooge.
Come with me to Christmas long ago, where fate foretold to a wretched soul. In darkened hours, precepts taught, in fitful night of dreams, a hope, a prayer for a second chance, an altered destiny. And so it goes, the Christmas tale of Ebenezer Scrooge, a change of fate for doom-bound souls, if altered courses choose. For power to change is given to man, he reapeth what he sows. In mortal shell, in word and deed, and so the story goes.
Chapter 1, Mr. Scrooge. Once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, upon a Christmas Eve, a faraway little town was filled with the spirit of the joyful season. 'Twas a time when people were filled with brotherhood, a time when children anticipated the arrival of jolly old Saint Nick, and a time when the wonderful spirit of giving was in great abundance.
Can you feel it in the air? Christmas feeling everywhere. Look around, so easy to see. Packages and shiny bows, candy canes and mistletoe. How I love that Christmas feeling.
It was a picture-perfect town, except for one thing, a miserable old soul by the name of Ebenezer Scrooge.
Bah, humbug, 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 bah, humbug, humbug, humbug.
Here he comes, old Mr. Scrooge, best get out of the way.
Humbug.
Even dogs all run away, best get out of the way.
Humbug, bah, humbug, humbug, humbug. Bah, humbug, humbug, humbug.
Not a beggar sought a trifle, no one dared to ask the time. Not could warm his frozen soul, nor cold could chill his spine.
Bah, humbug, humbug, humbug. Bah, humbug, humbug, humbug.
Here he comes, a nasty man, best get out of the way.
Humbug.
Tightwad, greedy, selfish man, best get out of the way.
Humbug, bah, humbug, humbug, humbug. Bah, humbug, humbug, humbug.
Counting all his precious money, stone cold heart collects his due. No compassion knows no mercy, stingy Mr. Scrooge.
Bah, humbug, humbug, humbug. Bah, humbug, humbug, humbug. Bah, humbug, humbug, humbug. Bah, humbug, humbug, humbug. Bah, humbug. Humbug!
Chapter 2. The Society Sisters. Ebenezer Scrooge was indeed a stingy old man. During Christmas and every other day of the year, on this particular day, he was making his rounds collecting money from those who owed him. Their problems were none of Scrooge's concern, for indeed, he was a greedy old miser, a wealthy one at that. He tried to avoid Sister Mary Richens and the Society's sisters asking for donations to help the needy at this time of year, but the interaction occurred anyway.
People gather round. There are those within our town. I'm clothed, unfed, in need of bread. Oh, can you help your brother? Ease the burden of another. Will you be an angel for them? Find it in your heart. Of all you have, can you give a part? Miracles come true when someone cares. Will you be an angel for them?
God looking for angels on earth, who share their bounty at his birth. Just ordinary people,
listen to those fools. People get what they deserve. The welfare dole takes such a toll. Don't expect me to solve their problems. Get a job to feed the small ones. So just go and leave me alone. They're homeless shelters for those in need. I paid my taxes, I've done my deed. Bah, humbug, let me be. I don't care to give. So just go and leave me alone.
God's looking for angels on earth, who share their bounty at his birth. Just ordinary people,
their bounty at his birth, with souls who are tired.
Even though many were in desperate need of meat and drink and a place of warmth, "Bah, humbug," was Scrooge's familiar reply. In one last attempt, Sister Mary Richens entreated him for even a small donation to help the needy at this time of year, and Scrooge emphatically spoke loud enough for all to hear. "Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? My taxes go to support such institutions." Sister Mary stated that many would rather die than go there. Unfazed, Scrooge made it very clear that he thought a decrease in the surplus population would be just fine. And off he went to his counting house. Chapter 3: The Beauty of Christmas. Oh, but he was a tightwad, was Scrooge. He spent most of his waking moments either collecting payments due or sitting at his desk counting his precious coins. He was a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Foul weather didn't even know where to have him. Such a tightwad was he that his faithful employee, Bob Cratchit, kept his coat, hat, and gloves on at the office, for Scrooge thought coal was already too expensive, and one could just add another layer of clothing to keep out the cold. As Scrooge was about to leave, his nephew came to extend his annual Christmas dinner invitation to Scrooge. As usual, Scrooge did not accept the invitation, for he didn't even like Christmas nor the thought of sitting around with people. He even told Fred, "What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money, a time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer? If I had my way, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas upon his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should." Unfazed, Fred told his uncle what he thought about his favorite time of year and just how beautiful Christmas really can be.
"Look all around, so easy to see a beautiful Christmas. Falling snow, candles glow, the warmth of the season. Time of year when everyone shares a spirit of giving. Frosty nights and children delight. What a beautiful Christmas. More than gifts and twinkling lights, more than mistletoe, priceless treasures of the heart, the wisest men all know. The greatest wealth, the greatest joy, the richest men possess, are measured not in heaps of gold, but in the lives they bless. For what is given, the bounty shared by one in charity, is he who owns the greatest prize. The richest man is he." More than mistletoe, priceless treasures of the heart, the wisest men all know. The greatest wealth, the greatest joy, the richest men possess, are measured not in heaps of gold, but in the lives they pass. For what is given, the bounty shared by one in charity, is he who owns the greatest prize, the richest man.
Fred indeed had many riches in his life, unlike the riches piling up in Scrooge's counting house. And all Ebenezer Scrooge could do was say, "Bah, humbug," as Fred went on his merry way. Scrooge also thought that Christmas was not convenient and not fair, that it was a poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. And so, begrudgingly, he gave Cratchit Christmas Day off with the warning to be there all the earlier the next morning. Chapter 4. Bob Cratchit's Joy. Ah, Bob Cratchit. How he looked forward to closing time every day, for he knew that waiting for him on the corner would be his little boy. Tiny Tim was faithful in his journey to his father's office every day, even though it was not an easy task for him on his crippled leg, for he did not like the thought of his father walking home by himself. He also loved riding on his father's shoulders all the way home.
Oh, how I love him, my little child. Always he waits for me. I love to see him smile. What a happy lad, my light, my joy. How I love my boy.
Father, will you lift me up? Will you hold me way up high?
And if I lift you, will you laugh out loud and make my burden light?
Can we walk by the open field and watch the children play?
He fills my days with joy. I love my boy.
Ah, my boy. 'Twill be the grandest Christmas ever.
Will we play Christmas games, Father?
Oh, yes. What fun we'll have gathered round the fire.
And Christmas pudding?
Yes, yes. And the table filled with mashed potatoes and gravy, applesauce, and the grandest Christmas goose ever. A feast fit for a king.
We'd better hurry home, Father. Mother will be waiting for us. I love Christmas, Father.
Chapter 5. Jacob Marley. Scrooge lived all alone, and he liked it that way. People were a bother. But like it or not, he would have company tonight. Upon his arrival at home that Christmas Eve, he thought he saw a ghastly face on his door knocker. Shaking it off, he went in, changed into his night clothes, and sat down to take his supper. As he was supping his gruel, he heard a ghostly moan and clanking noises. He got up and checked the closet, behind the curtains, and under the bed to see that all was right before he closed the heavy door, engaging two separate locks. He sat down again to his supper when a disused bell began to ring, succeeded by a loud clanking noise, as if someone was dragging a very heavy, cumbersome chain. To Scrooge's horror, the ghostly presence of his former business partner, Jacob Marley, dead for 7 years this very night, entered his room.
Scrooge, I've come to you tonight, warn you of your awful plight, doomed to endless misery, doomed to wear these chains like me. It is required that every spirit in life and death impart of its wealth and substance to his fellow man. Where much is given, much is required. All men must give. If not in life, the price is paid in chains. Mercy, kindness, sympathy, man's true business, charity. Scrooge, your chain grows longer every day. Blind man, don't be so blind, man. Your eyes are veiled. The clink of your coins has made you lose your sight. You've been in your money-changing hole for far too long. Get out of the door and open up your eyes. Mercy, kindness, sympathy, man's true business, charity. If not in life, the price is paid in chains. Scrooge, my time is nearly done. On this night, three spirits come. Heed them well, the ghostly dead. Ebenezer, shun the path I tread. Doomed to wear these chains like me.
Chapter 6, The Ghost of Christmas Past. Scrooge crawled deep into the covers of his bed and fell into a fitful sleep. At the stroke of one, he awoke to the first of the spirits Jacob Marley had foretold, the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Take my hand and we shall go to the days of long ago. Come with me to childhood days.
At the beckoning of the spirit, Scrooge touched the outstretched hand and found himself at his old boarding school. Now, if anyone ever wondered why Scrooge was the way he was, they only needed to glimpse into his childhood. As they looked through the window of the boarding school, they saw a boy, a lonely boy, a boy by the name of Ebenezer Scrooge. A boy practically abandoned by his father. A father whose son was never good enough, and so utterly alone. Poor, poor child. Over and over in his mind, as he gazed longingly upon his younger self. His thoughts were interrupted when a young girl came running into the school. Scrooge gasped when he saw her. "It's little Fan, my dear sister, little Fan," he exclaimed. "Oh, come home, dear brother," she said. "Father has relented. It is time to come home at last." "I did go home, only to be rejected by my father once again," Scrooge snarled. But as he looked upon little Fan, his heart grew softer. He observed a very striking resemblance to his nephew, Fred, Fan's only child. For the first time, he noticed how Fred had the eyes and heart of his dear mother, and his heart felt sad for a moment. The ghost interrupted Scrooge's thoughts by transporting him to a warehouse, to a time of Scrooge's youth. Scrooge's heart leaped with excitement at the remembrance of his apprenticeship with Mr. Fezziwig. It had been a very, very happy time in his life when he was young, full of life, and carefree.
"Fezziwig, bless his heart, it's Fezziwig, alive again. How I remember him, a kind and giving gent. Oh, how he laughed to make our burden light.
Clear away the tables, boys, quick, it's Christmas Eve. Trim the lamps, heap up the fire, light the Christmas tree.
Dance to merry music, let your hearts be light. Fill yourselves with food and song, it's Christmas Eve tonight.
And Scrooge said, "Oh, Spirit, there I am, dancing." Mr. Fezziwig always knew how to give a grand party. What a fine master he was. He could celebrate like no one else, and there was always plenty of food for everyone. Ah, Mrs. Fezziwig. Now, she was quite a fine cook, she was. And the games and the dancing. Mr. Fezziwig was one of the jolliest people I ever knew. I loved working for him. Such an employer. Oh.
"You'd have thought he'd spend a fortune for a night as grand as this, but for a few small pounds their hearts were light. Melodies of laughter from those in his employ. His simple kindness gives so much Christmas joy."
The spirit could discern a slight change in Scrooge's demeanor, and Scrooge thought about his own clerk, Bob Cratchit, and that he would like to say a word or two to him. It was then that Ebenezer caught sight of a beautiful young woman. His lips trembled as he gazed upon her, as she flirted with the younger version of himself. And the spirit heard him say, "Belle, look at her, her eyes, her smile. I'd forgotten just how beautiful she was. I remember when we fell in love."
"I've watched her from afar, she's beautiful. Her laughter, her eyes, her smile. It's time I let her know how I love her so. I've kept it to myself for far too long.
girl. I'm not that into books. I daydream all the while. It's obvious I am, and he's not into style. Then why am I wanting it so?
Sometimes I tell myself it's possible that maybe she could love someone like me. My looks, my walk, the funny way I talk, there just might be a possibility. Is my imagination crazy? I just keep thinking maybe there's a chance. I'm at the point there's nothing to lose. I can keep her in my dreams if that's all she can give.
I'll understand if he just walks away from me.
I'm probably not his type, but my heart keeps telling me there just might be a possibility. I'm probably not your type, but my heart keeps telling me there just might be a possibility.
And Scrooge became the envy of every guy in town as their love blossomed. Soon they were engaged to be married. But as time went on, Ebenezer became more and more involved in his financial affairs and less involved in the nurturing of their love. The next thing Scrooge knew was that it was 2 years hence, and he and the ghost were standing in a park watching Belle once again. By this time, Scrooge had also become quite good at the affairs of business. Oh, don't make me look upon this scene. Please, Spirit, no.
Ebenezer has changed. Something else steals his heart away from me. He's not the boy I knew. It's not the same. His love for me grows dim. Another idol has replaced me. He once loved me so deeply. He's all I ever longed for, but fear I must let him go. Ebenezer, how I loved him so. Do you remember when you couldn't wait to see me? How we'd laugh, how we'd love. Seems all I have are memories of how things used to be. A long ago, unforgotten dream.
But Belle, I'm building a future for the two of us. Wiser now, the money's very good. There's something to be said for security and wealth. I'll marry you when our future's set.
Ebenezer, you've changed. Something else steals your heart away from me.
But Belle, I still love you.
It's not the same. My love for you grows dim. Another idol has replaced me. I once loved you so deeply, but I release you now. Ebenezer, you're free to go.
Belle, please don't leave me. Must I let you go? I love you still, but different paths.
If Scrooge could have turned back the hands of time at that moment, he would have done so. He wanted nothing more from the spirit. However, their journey continued. In an instant and against Scrooge's wishes, the ghost ushered him to yet another time. Near a winter fire sat a beautiful young girl, so like Belle that he thought it her. Then he saw Belle, now a mother sitting opposite her young daughter. Noise filled the house with the laughter of many children, and she smiled. And now Scrooge looked on the scene more attentively than ever when the master of the house sat down with this young girl, her leaning fondly on him near the fireside. And when Scrooge thought that such another creature, quite as graceful and as full of promise as she, might have called him father and been a springtime in the haggard winter of his life, his sight grew very dim indeed.
Spirit, take me from this place. What I've lost, such disgrace. Take me from this awful scene. What good does it do me now? What is done, I cannot change. Spirit, rid me of this place.
Scrooge begged the spirit to remove him. He could not bear to see any more. Whereupon he found himself in a fitful sleep upon his bed once again. Chapter 7. The Ghost of Christmas Present. At the stroke of 2, Scrooge awoke to see a giant ghost bearing a glowing torch. Though he was fearful, Ebenezer told the spirit, "Conduct me where you will. I went forth earlier with the ghost of the past, and I learnt a lesson which is working now. If you have aught to teach me, let me profit by it."
Touch my hand and we shall travel not so far away. Here the Johnson family gathers on this holiday. Hungry, cold, and homeless, tattered and forlorn, so easily forgotten, so all alone.
He touched the spirit's hand and soon found himself in a place he had seen before, just a stone's throw from his own living quarters, a place where his eyes might have seen but chose to ignore, a place where the homeless and hungry huddled in the cold. On this night, Scrooge did see and hear the struggles of the Johnson family.
I have failed them, there's no more I can do. I have failed them. These hard-working hands can lay a brick. They have a skill, there's no work to be found. I don't know where to turn. the children to the poorhouse. I'm sorry that it's come to this.
I would rather die. It's not a place for families.
What kind of father is a man who cannot bring his family bread? What kind of husband is a man whose wife must shiver in the night?
What are we going to do?
Take them to the poorhouse where there is shelter. Take them, I cannot provide.
No.
I have failed them. My heart beats with desire. I have failed them.
We're a family.
My children are hungry. I've nowhere to turn. In winter's cold, I can't protect them anymore. Take them now. Just go.
Scrooge watched intently as the man turned from his family, leaving his wife and children standing there alone in the cold. Moments passed. Scrooge turned to the ghost. "Spirit, take me from this place. There's nothing I can do." In an instant, they were transported to another place, to the home of his nephew, Fred. As he looked through the window, he could see a joyful gathering of friends and family. A smile crossed his face, and he exclaimed, "Oh, Spirit, they're playing one of my favorite games, the game of yes and no. It's a game where you try to guess what object someone is thinking of by asking questions which can be answered with a yes or no." His eyes were bright with excitement as he watched the game progress, but when it came to one round of the game, they described one particular clue as an animal, something that growled, something that might not be considered human. Much to his dismay, Fred's wife, Clara, exclaimed, I know the answer, Uncle Scrooge! And everyone laughed uproariously. In his uncle's defense, Fred stepped forward. Now, let us not speak ill of Uncle Scrooge. My mother loved him, and so should we. I would be ungrateful not to drink his health, and I say, Uncle Scrooge! To which everyone raised their glass and toasted, Uncle Scrooge! Scrooge hesitated a moment. With his eyes still on the scene, he said, Every year he invites me. He's a good man. Much a good person as his mother, Fan. We can go now, Spirit.
Touch my hand and we shall travel not so far away. Here the Cratchit family gathers on this holiday. Tiny Tim upon his shoulders, children at his knee. Hear the children's laughter, see the poverty.
Can you tell me, Spirit, what's wrong with Tiny Tim?
Dare I ask you, Spirit, what becomes of him? Does the future see them laughing round the Christmas tree? I had no idea what a wretch is me. I didn't care, I didn't see what has become of me.
How they live their simple lives, the struggling poor just trying to survive. How they laugh mid toil and strife, and thank God for blessings in their lives.
On they went, and much they witnessed, sad, sick, and poor. Spirit's torch did bless them as many times before. Scrooge beheld the kindness, the Spirit's gentle way. Such regrets, what might have been, the bitter, awful shame.
I didn't care, I didn't see what has become of me. How they live their simple lives, the struggling poor just trying to survive. How they laugh mid toil and strife, and thank God for blessings in their lives.
Scrooge understood the precepts given, a mighty change from deep within. Embraced him tenderly in its own.
The Spirit gazed upon Scrooge's bent head and saw a tear stain upon his cheek. He did not speak or move for several moments. When Scrooge finally lifted his head to look at the Spirit, he noticed something strange about the ghost's giant skirt. He asked the Spirit, "Forgive me if I'm not justified in what I ask, but I see something strange and not belonging to yourself protruding from your skirts. Is it a foot or a claw?" The ghost cast his eyes down on Scrooge and answered, "It might be a claw, or it might be something else. Look here, old man. Look here. Look. Look down here." And with that, the ghost opened his skirt to reveal two desperate children with hollow faces and gaunt stares. And Scrooge said, "Spirit, are they yours?" To which the Spirit replied, "They are man's. They cling to me, appealing from their fathers. This boy is ignorance. This girl is want. Beware them both. But most of all, beware this boy." Scrooge looked at the children and then back to the ghost. "But Spirit, have they no refuge or resources?" And mocking Scrooge with his very own words, the Spirit retorted, "Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Ha ha! Ha 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 ha!" Chapter 8, The Ghost of Christmas Future. Scrooge found himself in his bed once again. He knew there was no use in trying to sleep. He would just have to wait. Wait for what was still to come. Soon, the bell struck 3, and Scrooge began to tremble.
Approaching shrouded phantom through the mist, trembling he knew not what would come.
you the ghost of Christmas future. I fear you most of all. I do not know what you must teach me, but this I surely know. The night is waning fast, precious time to me I know. Spirit, lead on, lead on, lead on.
For a moment, Scrooge hesitated. Are you to show me the shadow of things that have not happened, but will happen in the time before us? Is that so, Spirit? I fear our journey most of all. But I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, I am prepared to bear your company and do it with a thankful heart. Take me where you will. The ghost took Scrooge back to his very own bedroom, where a certain laundress, Mrs. Huckabee, came to pick up the weekly laundry. As she proceeded to pull the sheets off the bed, she jumped back, surprised when she saw a body in the bed. She appeared concerned at first, looked closely, and then poked, and then put her ear next to the nose to see if there was any breathing going on. A big smile crossed her face, and she ran to get her friends to tell them the news.
I hit the jackpot today. Lots of precious goodies coming our way. Bring your bags quick, don't delay. This could be our lucky, lucky day.
Ooh, what is this?
I've been looking for new cufflinks.
Fancy.
Ooh, linen.
I like this.
I love this one.
Is that satin?
Ooh, I like that.
Oh, shiny.
No, it's mine.
Oh, look
it's
at that. That's shiny. That's for me. Keep your hands off my sock first.
The mean old miser, aha, he's dead. Died all alone upon his bed. No one to care, no one to know. A judgment on his nasty, nasty soul. Show some respect, the man is dead. Close his eyes and cover his head. Show some pity, show some care. Bow your head and say a little prayer.
This mortal man, God rest his soul. All that money counting finally took its toll. Reverently we pray, dear God, that he may rest in peace. We'll reflect, we will grieve, we'll take care of his things.
Can't take it with him to the pearly gates. Can't take it with him where the fire awaits. So thank you, sir, for the favor you've done. Gotta take care of number one.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Gotta take care of number one. Life's a struggle and then it's done.
So get all the taking while the taking's good.
Clean up things in the neighborhood.
The wicked old screw, aha, he's dead. Lying there stone cold on his bed.
Ah, the things he left behind.
God is merciful and God is kind.
Can't take it with him to the pearly gates. Can't take it with him where the fire awaits. So thank you, sir, for the favor you've done. Gotta take care of number one.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Ah, how holy old miser's dead. Gone, he's finally through.
Money was his only friend.
with him to the pearly gates. Can't take it with him where the fire awaits. So thank you, sir, for the favor you've done. Gotta take care, gotta take care, gotta take care, gotta take good care of number one.
Shh, I think someone's coming. Oh, it's going.
Gotta take care of number one.
And Scrooge looked up at the spirit, bothered. Is there no sorrow over this man's death? Show me some emotion. And the spirit turned his head to look in another direction. Before Scrooge could even blink, the unspeaking being led him to the residence of his employee, Bob Cratchit. There was no laughter on this day. And Tiny Tim's crutch stood alone in the corner. And Mr. Cratchit said to his wife, I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised myself that I would visit his tiny grave every Sunday. Tiny Tim, my little child, my little child.
Oh, how I miss him. Him, hear my prayer. I know you'll watch him, but the grief's so hard to bear. How I miss his smile, my light, my joy. How I miss my boy.
Try to think of happier days when you held him way up high, and on your shoulders how he'd laugh out loud and make your burdens light. Can't you still hear his simple prayer? God bless everyone. Oh, may his prayer come true. I miss my son.
He's my son, not just a boy. He's my little child. He's my son, Tiny Tim. He's my child. I close my eyes and say a prayer. With all my heart, I wish him here. My arms ache just to carry him. Oh, how I miss him. Him, hear my prayer.
Even when he was so very ill, he'd say things were okay.
I remember how he'd wait for me as he watched the children play. He filled my days with joy. How our hearts ache. He's my son, not just a boy. He's my my son, Tiny Tim. He's my child. I close my eyes and say a prayer. With all my heart, I wish him here. My little child, our little
just any boy. He's our son.
Scrooge gazed upon the scene for a moment. He turned to the Spirit.
Spirit, are these the shadows of things that must be or might be? Spectre, something informs me that our parting moment is at hand. I know it, but I know not how.
The Spirit raised his arms, and its footsteps slowly followed the direction of its finger. Ebenezer fearfully followed behind as a great foreboding fell upon him. When he realized that the Spirit had taken him to a graveyard, to a certain grave, Scrooge bent down and carefully brushed the snow off the gravestone. And to his great fear, he saw that it was his very own name engraved upon the stone.
Spirit, show me what you will. I see a graveyard dark and still. Why bring me here if lot is cast? Why bring me here if hope is past? Do these shadows have to be? Men's courses will foreshadow certain ends, which if preserved they must lead. But if the courses be departed, will the ends change? Say it is thus with what you show me.
Chapter 9, Scrooge's Celebration.
Scrooge was overcome with grief, racked with torment. He raised his eyes once again to plead with the Spirit. When he realized he was in his own bed, in his own room, and alive, he was overcome with joy.
My own room!
I'm alive! Thank you, Spirit. I'm alive. Thank you, Spirit. Blessed Christmas Day. I'll keep my promise. I'll keep Christmas forever in my heart. Tell me, boy, what day is this?
Why, sir, it's Christmas Day.
Christmas Day! I haven't missed it! Blessed Christmas Day! Is the largest bird still hanging in the poulter shop in town? Well, run and buy it! Hurry, boy! I'll give you half a crown! I'm alive! Thank you, Spirit! Blessed Christmas Day! I'll keep my promise! I'll keep Christmas forever in my heart.
And as Scrooge walked the streets of the town, no more generous man could be found. He gave to the poor a smile on his face. He learned about love, wasted none of his days.
He gave money to the society sisters. He took Fred up on his invitation to Christmas dinner. He gave Bob Cratchit a nice big raise and saw to it that Tiny Tim had the best medical attention possible. A true blessing in the lives of so many from that day forward.
God bless everyone.
God bless Tiny Tim.
God bless Mr. Scrooge. God bless us all. God bless everyone. Can it last forever?
So selfish all these years. Is this real, or are we only dreaming? Can it be, did this man answer our prayer?
God bless everyone.
Miracles come true.
What I feel inside, money cannot buy. My world turn around, giddy as a clown, this joy I've never known.
God bless everyone.
God bless this little family.
God bless Mr. Scrooge. God bless us all. God bless everyone.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the old city knew. It was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. May that be truly said of us and all of us. And may God bless us with the spirit of the season always.
Rosy cheeks, frosty airs, twinkling lights, church bells ring, carolers sing, silence dies. Can you feel it in the air?
Merry Christmas, everyone.